Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. To win in the race of life requires honesty, telling the truth. As we explore another of the Ten Commandments, we'll see why this sin is so prevalent and so destructive. Imagine you're in court. Will you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer takes us to the ninth of the Ten Commandments as he brings part two of a message on to tell the truth. Today we learn that it's possible to violate this commandment even when telling the truth.
Slander, that's when you demean the reputation of other people by what you say, whether you are telling a falsehood because of the lack of investigation in the matter, or whether you are even telling the truth. Listen, you can tell the truth and be guilty of slander. If you're telling the truth to people who are not part of the problem nor part of the solution, and what you are doing it for is to simply demean the reputation of some believer in their eyes, that is slander. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, very interesting sidelight as to what God says about slander. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Notice what it says regarding the wives of deacons. Deacons, take note, share this passage with your wives if it applies. 1 Timothy chapter 3, it says, women, probably the wives of the deacons, though it may also refer to deaconesses. Women must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossips. That's a pretty good translation. But do you know what the Greek says? Not diabolos. That's what it says. Not devils. It's the word for devil that is used 40 times in the New Testament. It says, women should not be slanderers. That's the meaning of the word diabolos. And so what he's saying is don't be slandering, because when you slander somebody, you are doing Satan's work. He is a slanderer, and that's the meaning of the word devil. So you see, it's not just speaking the truth about someone. Even speaking the truth can be slander if you are causing their reputation to be tainted in the minds of those to whom you speak. And God says he hates it all. He hates it. It's the devil's work. You know, it's wonderful to know that if you have been the victim of slander, and I suppose all of us have been at times, there is a verse in Psalm 31 that says this. Regarding the believing person, it says, thou dost hide them in the secret place of thy presence from the conspiracies of man. Thou dost keep them secretly in a shelter from the strife of tongues. Isn't that great? God guards those who are victimized by the strife of tongues, rumors that will not subside, false rumors. That's Psalm 31, verse 20. So one of the ways that we can break the commandment is by what we say. Secondly, we can break that commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness, by what we do. We talk about doing the truth. For example, cheating is a form, actually, of misrepresentation and bearing false witness. And I feel sorry for people who have cheated in their past, who have never made it right, because back in their minds, there is always that knowledge that somehow they have done something wrong. And in moments of revival, when the Holy Spirit of God really begins to do his work, they begin to realize that they've got to go back and make things right. That's why at schools, even such as Moody Bible Institute, sometimes there are students who cheat, who years later write letters saying, I cheated when I was there and I want to make that right. That's an indication of the work of the Spirit of God, who wants us to be totally honest and make things right as far as we possibly can. I remember one day in seminary, we had to go to the board and write Greek verbs down and parse them. And we were given drills. We'd go to the board and then we'd stand next to each other and we'd do it. And I was next to a guy who was just a Greek whiz. And sometimes I wasn't a Greek whiz. And I remember on one occasion looking out of the corner of my eye and seeing what he had written, and I wrote down the very same words. And the teacher commended me for being so accurate. And then I remember after that chapel service, about 2 days later, I was under such conviction. Have you ever been in a meeting where you just can't wait for it to get over? You say, preach that sermon, get it over with, sing the song, because I've got to do something. God has spoken to me. I was in such agony, I couldn't hardly believe it, just the weight of guilt upon my shoulders and heart. And I went to the professor and I explained to him what happened. And we took care of it, and what a load it is off a person's shoulders. Just writing a term paper where you have plagiarized. You know, plagiarism is when you steal from one author. If you steal from many, of course, then it's called research. But just writing a term paper where you've plagiarized, and to know that you've handed it in to the university and there is something wrong with it, that is dishonesty. You can also lie by what you do. Let's take for an example the misrepresentation that took place in Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We read this in our devotions at home last night with the children. And my children were really quite taken aback by the fact that the text doesn't say that they lied. What happened is in chapter 4, verse 36, Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth, owned a tract of land, sold it, brought the money, laid it at the apostles' feet. Chapter 5 tells the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who also sold a property. They did the same thing. They kept back part of the price. Somebody says, well, wasn't that all right? Maybe they had financial need. Of course it was all right. Peter says in verse 3, or rather verse 4, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? After it was sold, was it not under your control? You can do anything you want with it. You could have kept all the money. What did Ananias and Sapphira do that was wrong? The answer is, they took money and they laid it at the apostles' feet, pretending that they were giving all that they had received from the land, just like Barnabas had done. That's what was so sinful. If they'd have given a part of it and said, now this is only a part of it because we need money, Peter said, you have that right. He says, it was yours. Even after you sold it, it remained your own. But the problem is, you put the best face on it. You wanted to give the impression that you were spiritual. You wanted to give the impression that you were generous. And Sapphira, you wanted to be elected to the woman's society so everyone would think that you were godly. And because of that pretense, God says, it's game over. You're dead. Say, well, why doesn't God do that today? I think God was giving an object lesson to the church. What he was doing at the beginning of the church was to say that I hate pretense, I hate hypocrisy, I hate lying, and because these people agreed in their heart to lie through pretense, I will use them as an object lesson. And so Ananias dies, Sapphira dies, both of them are wiped out, and Peter says to them, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Remember, John chapter 8 says that Satan is a liar and the father of lies. His technique is lies, 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 lies. You know that sometimes wicked spirits actually speak through the mouths of people, especially when they are being dealt with. If a person is demonized because of some reason, perhaps dabbling in the occult. And one of the things that you know about wicked spirits is the only time you can believe them is when they have just told you that they have just been lying. They are liars. It is almost impossible for a demon to tell the truth. He would rather say something very evasive and general rather than telling the truth. He hates truth. And so Peter says, Ananias, why did Satan fill your heart? He put it into your heart to lie. You'd have said, Ananias and Sapphira, that day that you were eating breakfast and you were discussing this among yourselves, Satan was in your kitchen and he was passing this idea off into your minds. They wouldn't have believed it. They'd have said, this is what we agreed to do to make ourselves look good. Satan's great desire is to take thoughts and to pass them off into our minds and to get us to believe that they are ours and not his. It was motivated by pride, this lie was. It was suggested by the devil, but it was directed against God. Peter says, you have not lied to men. You have lied to God because he is the one that makes the rules. You are a liar, and God hates liars. Well, there's so much more that could be said, but we must hurry on. We can break the commandment by what we say. We can break the commandment by what we do also. We can also break this commandment by what we say and do when you put the two together. For that, turn with me to the book of 1 John for just a moment. You remember it occurs near the end of the New Testament, just a couple of pages before the book of Revelation. 1 John. Here he says that you can be a liar because you say one thing and you do another. I'm thinking of chapter 1, verse 6 of 1 John. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What he's saying is that what comes out of our mouth is inconsistent with our life. We say, I walk in the light. We stand up and we give testimonies and say, you know, it's wonderful to walk with the Lord and to have fellowship with him and all that. And yet there are hidden areas of darkness in our life. If you can think of our lives as a house, and every house has several different rooms, and every one of these rooms represents a different area of our life. One room represents our business life. The other room represents our married life. The other room represents our academic life. The other room represents the financial part of our life. And we have all of these different rooms within us. And if there is darkness there because there is something that we have not surrendered to God, the text says we lie and we do not do the truth. And remember what God says in Proverbs, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, and twice lying is mentioned. God hates it because God is truth. Satan loves it because he is a lie and the father of lies.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. I urge you today to go into the closets of your life and open the door. I recognize how difficult that is for many of you. I suggest that you receive counsel, especially if it has to do with people whom you have harmed, issues in your marriage, but do all that you possibly can to be in fellowship with God. Do all that the Holy Spirit is urging you to do. Very quickly, I want to mention to you that this is the time when we have our matching gift challenge. What an opportunity for you to be involved in this ministry as we continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Of course, you know what that means. Every gift that you give will be doubled. And you become a partner with us, holding our hands as together we run toward the finish line. Thank you in advance for your help and for your prayers.
You've heard Pastor Erwin Lutzer with part two of To Tell the Truth, another message in a series on the Ten Commandments. Next time, join us for some final thoughts on this, the ninth of the Ten Commandments. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Your gift to Running to Win is appreciated and can be doubled during this month. Help us take advantage of the matching gift campaign by calling 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. For Pastor Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.